if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello and welcome to the Big Red Barrel UK podcast. I am Coleman. Hi. And this is episode 364 of the Big Red Barrel UK podcast. Said the title of the show twice. Do it a third time. Big Red Barrel UK podcast, or BRB UK, if you will. I am rambling, and the reason for that is no Dan. No Dan and no Tim. But don't worry, I'm not on my own talking to myself like a madman, like I do when the microphones are switched off. But I do, in fact, have one of my Big Red Barrel brothers with me. It is Mr. Rick. Hello.
No, I was just going quiet there to make it look like you were actually talking to yourself.
No, I don't like this game. Let's not do this game. This is a very silly game.
A good game.
Audio silence, that's what people love out of a podcast.
We call it a pregnant pause.
How are you doing?
I'm good, a little bit tired. We're getting ready for my work week. I guess I've had my coffee, I've had my water. I'm ready to rock. Feeling good.
Well, while you're prepping yourself for the treacherous night shifts of work, I will quickly explain that this podcast will be out a day early, so don't worry, you've not lost a day weirdly and wildly through your no doubt promiscuous lifestyle, dear listener, but in fact this has come out a day early. The reason being is we're at EGX. I mean, not all of us, me and Tim are at EGX, not right now as I'm recording. I'm talking to Rick on podcast. We've already discussed this part. Me and Tim will be at EGX over in the Excel Centre in London, while Dan is prepping for his 50th birthday. Yes, right, 50 years old is Mr. Gibbons, or Dr. Gibbons, if you will. So no one on the show this week, and hopefully a special kind of EGX-y type show next week. But I brought Rick along because, Rick, me and you, we've got something in common, and that is that we have both played Code Vein. Myself extensively in preview, yourself extensively in both review and preview. We're going to get to that a little bit later, but first on, as we tend to do, we will jump through the news very quickly. And I say very quickly because there's not a lot of it this week, and the stuff that there is a lot of, we might not be the best qualified people to talk about.
We absolutely are not the best people to talk about.
Rick, how familiar are you with the title League of Legends?
I am so familiar with the title League of Legends that I got chewed out a couple of years ago when I asked a question in a room full of nerds who are Riot Games.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
The only thing, I mean, I tried League of Legends very briefly. I think someone on one of the Big Red Barrel shows was ranting and raving about it when it came out. Gave it a quick try. Wasn't for me. Over the years, well, over the 10 years, in fact, since it's released, it's been gaining quite the popular fan base. In fact, every EGX I go to, there is always a large section dedicated to League of Legends and Riot Games in general, and always weird plushies of characters or pets or something from the game that I don't understand.
And that hat that looks like a fisherman's hat with goggles on it that everyone seems to
wear. Yeah, or like a turtle shell with spikes and goggles. Yeah, yeah. Lots of those around. And at one point, I did see a kid absolutely lose it at some kind of couples League of Legends tournament and unplug his customized keyboard and go home. So there we go. That's awesome. My entire history of League of Legends right there. But as I said, it is 10 years it's been going on, and to celebrate, Riot Games has done a 10-year anniversary celebration stream where they've basically spoke about updates on the game and other projects in the works, which we'll go through a little bit, but not too massive in detail, because again, it is complete new ground to myself and Rick here. But I will say, if you're a fan of League of Legends, there is a new champion coming in called Senna, who will be available in the public beta on October the 29th and will be officially live to everyone else on the 10th of November. Also, they've announced a hero shooter called Project A, which looks to be a character-based tactical shooter for PC, set in the near future in Earth, has a crazy roster of characters, think a little bit Overwatchy, each with a unique abilities, and there's going to be more information about that sometime next year. But at the moment, it's just called Project A. As you're going to find out pretty soon, Riot love naming stuff Project Number or Letter. They've also, there's been a fighting game from Riot in the works for quite some time, or at least rumored anyway. And that one is Project L. And that, again, we don't know much about this one, but it's a fighting game set in the League of Legends universe. And we're likely to hear more about that at this year's Evo tournament. But at the moment, no other information. There's also a League of Legends social game that's in the works called Project F. There's also a League of Legends free-to-play card game, which I think that's out now or out soon.
Project C, by any chance?
No, that one's called Legends of Runeterra.
Oh, that one has a name.
The closer you get to releasing, you actually do get a name. But before then, you can only be like Project F and Project X and Project Q, Project Bat Symbol. There's also Wild Rift, which is a kind of League of Legends for mobile and consoles, but not officially League of Legends, like a little kind of watered down, made for consoles, made for mobile devices version of the game. That looks to emulate the regular version of League of Legends, but not as in depth.
Like my first League of Legends.
Well, I wouldn't even say that. It's just it's just downscaled for consoles, really, which you need...
Diet League.
Diet League, there you go.
League Zero.
Caffeine-free, yeah, League of Legends Zero. I like that. That'll be much better. There's also Team Fight Tactics. That's coming to mobile. You might know that as Auto Chess, but you know the actual version of it. There's a pre-registration currently open on the Google Play Store, and they're going to... It looks like the full game's going to release quarter one some point 2020. There's an animated series called Arcane that's in the works. That's been announced. Some point next year it will be releasing. And there's also this. Now, this is where the meta has come full circle. Now, we've gone... Sports are now esports, and they actually get shown on proper sports networks, ESPN and what have you. Now, there is a League of Legends esports manager where you get to simulate managing an esports team. Of League of Legends. I won't fault anyone who wants... Look, if you're into esports, yeah, more power to you. If you're an esports player, even more power to you. I hear those people make a lot of money. If you manage one, brilliant.
Okay.
And in this case, okay, people like Football Manager and Hockey Manager and all they those do. Kind of games. And I don't understand the fascination. If you like it, there you go. Well done. Now there's an esports...
Spreadsheets the game.
Spreadsheets the game. And now there's an esports version coming from Riot. So if you've ever wanted to manage your own esports game, but not make any money out of doing so, then here's your chance with League of Legends Esports Manager. Anyway, League of Legends, 10 years old. There's a bunch of stuff that got announced. If you're a fan, let us know on the Discord or on Twitter or on Facebook, and then we can... Try, I mean, sell us on League of Legends, to be fair, if you're a fan. That seems like a sensible thing to do. The closest I've ever been to the world of to League of Legends and esports, in fact, was a friend of mine turning up to EGX and wearing a League of Legends esports team t-shirt, and the whole day people thought he was part of an actual esports team and kept giving him free stuff. So... There you go. EGX is happening right now. If you're there, maybe wear an esports team and see what happens.
I think you should do that. You should make an esports team for League of Legends, wear the t-shirt, wear it, and give me the swag that you get. Because I can't be there, because I need to hold down the fort in the office.
You might get a free keyboard out of it. Well done.
Amazing.
Mm. Also, last week we were talking about the Blizzard stuff, where there's been a lot of talk about Blizzard and China and Hong Kong over the last couple of weeks, and other stuff as well. We've had some feedback about that NBA have been involved in this, and South Park have been making a stand of this, and other companies as well, and it's kind of blown out in a big way. If you're not aware, we spoke about it recently. Overwatch is coming out on the Nintendo Switch. And to coincide with that launch, they set up an event in the, I believe it was the New York Nintendo store, where you could come down, play Overwatch, meet voice actors from Overwatch, and it looked to be a pretty cool affair. And then and that was meant to happen today as we're recording. Just a week before that happened, they came out, Nintendo put out a tweet saying, hey, Blizzard has cancelled the launch event, which that might have something to do with the whole ban Blizzard and free Hong Kong, stand with Hong Kong hashtags going on at the moment.
They are absolute cowards.
I'm wondering just kind of, I mean, the way they've said it is Blizzard have cancelled the launch event. Not Nintendo have cancelled, not we've had to cancel, not this is no longer happening, or any kind of sort of safe wording for it at all. It's outright Blizzard has cancelled the launch event for Overwatch. So you've got to wonder what kind of back and forthing there is between Blizzard and Nintendo to come on the agreement of that tweet. And, you know, no actual reason given other than cancelled by Blizzard.
Yeah.
Like, there's some... To be a fly on the wall, some would say. I want to know... I'm always fascinated with when things go tits up for a large company. and I always want to see behind the scenes of how that happened. But... Yeah, just to sort of continue on, I thought that was quite a fascinating one, because that's, you know, Overwatch has been out for a while. It's a very big game. It's coming to another platform. There was a sort of semi-big deal made about it. Nintendo tried to make a bigger deal about it, and just nothing.
Yeah, it almost feels like it's like there's two possibilities for what happened. It's Blizzard realizing that there'll probably be protests and stuff outside, and they're like, no, we don't want that. And then sort of like tucking the tail between the legs and, you know, running away. Or Nintendo going, you guys sh** the bed and we don't want anything to do with this.
I think it's likely the former. I can't see Nintendo cancelling on an event like that, that so much plan. I mean, it's meant to be a week-long celebration of a game launching at their... Currently, I think it's their biggest store, the New York one. That only launched a few years ago, but they made a real big deal about it. It's not a great look for Blizzard, and this especially, I think it comes off a lot worse for Blizzard. It continues to come off worse for Blizzard than it does for Nintendo. I think we'll be keeping an eye on this as the weeks pass with the whole Hong Kong protests going on and Blizzard and just, all the other companies. See how this affects the world of gaming even further.
It'll be interesting to see how they come out of it, because Blizzard have been on the decline ever since the Activision partnership, and year after year, they just seem to get worse and worse. And this is sort of like, oh, this company that everybody used to love is now like public enemy number one.
Isn't BlizzCon like really close?
I couldn't tell you, mate. I have little to no interest in Activision Blizzard products. So I can't even be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna boycott Blizzard in solidarity. No, I just don't play their games. Same with League of Legends. Absolute worst person to have on this podcast with you today.
No, that's fair. I just quickly looked it up. 1st of November is when BlizzCon starts. So yeah, just around the corner. If you remember the last BlizzCon, we had the whole thing with the mobile version of Diablo. So I'm curious to see what happens on their streams and stuff with this whole Hong Kong movement. So we'll see, and we will report, and we will probably attempt to make some kind of observation on it, and it'll just end up comical in the end. But anyway, away from the headlines, which we are not qualified in any way, shape, or form to talk about, would you like some points of interest, Rick?
I would love some points of interest, Chris.
Good. This is my wheelhouse. When Dan's not here, I suck at headlines, but points of interest will always be my baby. And speaking of my baby, which I have no link. That's not a link.
That was a weird segue.
That's speaking of my baby that Google took away from me. I have no idea. Google Stadia. We have spoken about Google Stadia a lot on the show and off the show. And Tim, last week, he said he cancelled his pre-order. As far as I'm aware, Dan's still got his going. And now we get a release date for those Founders Editions of the Google Stadia, which I think you can still order in the UK, even though they made a second version for the sold-out Founders Edition that isn't sold out. But anywho, Google Stadia, they've announced the Founders Edition will be available beginning on the 19th of November, just over a month away. How excited are you?
I'm about as excited for Google Stadia as I am for League of Legends.
We've had this conversation a couple of months back. I know you're not excited about Stadia at all.
I don't think it's going to work over here anyway. I don't think it's going to work.
I don't know. I think it's going to, well, obviously it will depend on situation. Some of the UK is a lot better equipped to run broadband than other parts of the UK. There are still parts that are on copper wiring.
My area, not so much. because I had an internet outage again. It's back now. That's how we're recording. But yeah, I don't trust the internet, especially around my area, for anything like that. I barely trust it for Now TV.
I don't trust the internet in general.
No, it's full of people.
Yeah, it's a bad place.
Full of esports.
Just don't use it. Just log off.
Run away. Go outside. Yeah. Read a book.
Go outside. Hold hands. Skip through fields of lollipops wearing rainbow scarves.
Yeah, just live, laugh, life, love.
Exactly. And stay away from Google Stadia.
Yeah, if you can't handle me at my worst, etc.
So anyway, Stadia, I'm excited for the tech. I said it since On Live and Gaikai and all those kind of things. I really liked the idea of streaming games from a more sophisticated computer than I can afford and running that on smaller devices, TVs, computers, phones, whatever. I really like that idea. I think if anyone could do it, it probably could be Google. It could be Google or Amazon. They seem to be the runners for that kind of stuff. I just don't trust Google to not make a pig's ear out of it on launch. And yeah. I don't think there's enough vested interest in Google Stadia at the moment for it to be a successful launch. And also as well, the whole marketing behind it is really jumbled at the moment on public impression. There are people that still think that Google Stadia is like a Netflix type system, which you're going to pay monthly into and get to play everything on there. Not you have to buy physical. Yeah, well, not physical. You have to buy retail priced games that you can just stream.
That's what I don't like about it as well. I'd rather just buy the retail game and own it. But anyway, that's a conversation that we've had a million other times.
Exactly. I'm hoping if you look at the improvements made with PlayStation Now and the improvements made with Game Pass, maybe down the line there is a much better version of Google Stadia that is released to the public that we get much more excited about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something that I tend to get excited about is the game for the Nintendo Switch, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. I know you're not a fan of Super Smash Bros.
I'm not. Should I just go?
No, it's fine. You stick around for a bit. We've got to talk about stuff more in your wheelhouse. Do you watch Evo at all, Rick?
I do not.
Okay. This year, the headline is Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, which is quite impressive. Super Smash Bros. Has had a really weird history with Evo. Originally, that Nintendo wouldn't allow it to be a main game in Evo. And there's been changes to the game, unofficial changes to the game in the Evo rules, like specific characters and stages and stuff can't be used as unfair advantages and all this kind of thing. And now it's the headline game for this year. That's quite impressive. But if you want to check that out, there's going to be the Japan tournament. I keep saying this year, I've just realized. Next year, the Japan tournament in January 24th to 26th. So there you go. I'm wondering where or if, I'm sure it will be, Dragon Ball FighterZ will be making an appearance there, because that is an impressive one to watch with crowd backing and with very talented people playing those games.
It is a lovely looking game, to be honest, Dragon Ball.
It's so beautiful. I love that game. And lastly, there is a delay. We had a couple of delays last week. We got another one this week. Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 has been delayed by 2 months. So it was originally set for a Q1 launch 2020, and it's going to release sometime later in the year. But I've been given a date of 2 months. I have no idea where 2 months came from, as they haven't got an official launch date yet anyway. So work that out for what you will. It will come out later in 2020.
Did they give a reason as to why it was delayed?
Polish. They need to polish it. It's a game. They always need to polish the games. That's why they delay the games. Got a game. Looks a bit dull. Apply some pledge. Give it a bit of a other polishes are available. Give it a bit of a polish. Ready for the launch.
Yeah, I'm fine with this. If they're delaying it to make it better, then cool. I don't get why people... A lot of people get up in arms about delays. You know, like...
I don't think they do so much now.
Really?
Like, over the last couple of years, delays don't seem to be so bad because we've had so many games that have launched in a terrible state and have had to be patched up the wazoo.
Yeah, yeah. I still see a lot of complaints like, oh, this has been delayed. And it's like, well, you can have it broken now or and then hate it and then wait for it to get patched out, or you can just wait 6 months.
Yeah. I just see it seems there's now in this climate, there's more outrage to games that are launched broken or disappointing than they are delayed, like death threats and stuff, which, you know, is not excusable in any way, but hey-ho, that's the crazy, horrible world. Don't go on the internet. It's an evil place.
Awful stay away. Place. Terrible.
Stay away from the internet. We don't
horrible
like it.
Horrible people live there.
Yeah. You know what's a good thing on the internet? A good use for the internet?
Porn.
Video games that have multiplayer elements to them.
That's exactly my second choice.
Okay, so let's talk about some games what we done played. And the main reason I've called you in, Rick, so I'm not talking on my own, is because you have been playing Code Vein, and you've got a review up on BigRedBarrel.com.
I have, and I do.
And it was very favourable, I believe.
It was.
Since your review, how much further are you into playing Code Vein? Are you still keeping it on? Have you jumped to anything else yet?
No, I've been playing other things because I've been on a bit of a Dragon Quest binge, but I've started my second playthrough shortly after the first one.
Okay.
And yeah, it was a different experience because during the first playthrough, I was trying to figure out the mechanics of it. And then toward the end of the game, when, you know, you figured everything out and you know how the game works, when I finished it and went back, it was really interesting to approach it from a different angle, knowing how all the mechanics and stuff work. So you said that you've played it during the preview.
Yes.
So you only have like very limited experience with the blood codes and the gifts.
More so in the last preview I went to. That's when they unveiled all the blood codes and the gifts and stuff. Previously, right. I just played it like a kind of Souls-like falling... A Souls-like that allows you to fall off ledges. But the last time I played, it came with the full starting tutorial and character creation
the
and then all
the
codes. Yeah, the proper the demo that was released just before the game came out.
Now, what's nice about that is the demo is essentially the beginning of the game. So when you install it, it's like a 30 gig install. So it installs 8 gig first, and then you play what is essentially the demo. And then you can make your character, you can mess about, grind some... I was going to call them souls, but it's not souls, it's haze. grind some haze, level up your character, mess about, and then when you get to the end of what the demo area would be, so like the first area, do the boss, have a bit of exposition, then you just wait for the install to finish. But it only takes about 10 minutes if you take your time and play that. So I thought that was really nice because it meant that I didn't have to sit and wait for this massive install. But what I was saying about the blood codes and everything, so if you haven't played Code Vein, blood codes are essentially your classes and gifts your abilities. So each different blood code has its own set of abilities. So each class has its own abilities. What's really cool is if you have a certain blood code equipped and then certain abilities equipped, every time you kill an enemy, your abilities gain experience and then they eventually unlock for all of your blood codes. So it really pushes experimenting with different classes and equipping different abilities to see what they all do. And then as the game goes on, you can mix and match things that you've unlocked fully with new blood codes that you've discovered. And you can really customize your character to sort of bend to your playstyle. And having that system completely figured out by the end of my first run, when I started my second run, I was just a completely different beast. And I found I was able to approach the game in a completely different way because the initial run through was all about grinding. I'd hit a wall, you know, I'd come up to a boss and it would just absolutely trash me. And then I'd just run off for an hour, grind some haze, level up, and then come back and try and brute force it. On the second playthrough, I ended up shaving like 2 hours off my time getting to a certain area.
Okay.
So when we got the review code, we got a document saying, please don't give anything away after the first 6 hours. And getting to that point in the game, I can see why they don't want, or why they didn't want that revealed in previews and everything, because it's quite, it's a new area, but the way that it's revealed, it just looks incredible. It's like, yeah, this is something that people need to see for themselves. And that's when the story starts kicking off and getting a bit weird. And I think it took me like 7 hours to get there, first of all. And then on my second playthrough, it took me like 4.5, because I had a better understanding of the abilities, like the gifts and the blood codes and stuff. And I really like this game. Like, the combat's really fast-paced. It's sort of... The combat's a little bit closer to Devil May Cry than it is Dark Souls, in that it's quicker, it uses the same buttons, like, it uses square and triangle, which really threw me off at first, because I'm pressing... Like, I'm running up to something and mashing R1 to try and hit it. But that's the sprint button. So I was just getting battered, and I'm like, oh no, wait, I'm pressing the wrong buttons. I need to try
it,
and
it does make sense though when you get your head around it. It's like, oh yeah, this is how games played before Souls.
Yeah, and and I don't know, the combat just feels really free. Like, you can guard, you can dodge, and you can parry. And if you time your parries right, you get a free attack and all that stuff. I didn't really use that or guard. I was going more for dodging, because I'd been playing Bloodborne prior to this, so I was used to not having a guard button, so I was just trying to roll into stuff. And like with Bloodborne, if you roll into the enemy when it attacks, that's your invincibility frames. That's your best way to get out of an attack, is to get into it. So it really sort of rewards aggressive play. And it's fun, which I think is the most important thing. It isn't as difficult as other Souls-like games, because you've got an AI partner at all times. And that's something that Bandai Namco seem to do with a lot of their games. If there's a sort of an option, so the games that they're borrowing heavily from, if there's an option for multiplayer, they sort of integrate it with an AI. They do it with the God Eater games, which is sort of like a Monster Hunter clone, I suppose would be the easiest way to describe it. It's doing it a disservice, but it's definitely the easiest way to describe it as that. But instead of playing on your own, you have three AI partners with you at all times.
Right.
And it's the same with this. Instead of summoning somebody in and having another player, which you can do, although I've not had a chance to play it online yet, because when I was playing it, the servers were off. But instead of waiting to summon somebody in, you have an AI partner with you. And there's different partners to choose from, each of different strengths and weaknesses. None of them ever shut the hell up. It is the most grating thing, because they comment on absolutely everything.
So, like playing with me?
It's that's the perfect analogy for it. It's like having you around 24/7. It's awful.
Oh.
But it even comes down to, like, if you go into your menu to swap out a blood code and abilities or look at your equipment or something, as soon as you bring it back, they go, oh, you're just checking out your equipment. It's like having the paperclip from Microsoft Word with a sword follow you around. It's, oh, I hate it. And you can't turn them off. And that's the only two gripes that I have with the AI partners are, you can't change their AI.
Right.
Even down to basic things. Like, any game that has an AI partner in it gives you some kind of system where you can just tweak the AI. So only use heals when there's like 10% health left, or go for physical attacks over aggressive attacks, or... Just the simplest one would be attack the monster that the player character is attacking. So they don't run off on their own and do their own thing. So you can have like focused fights. There's none of that, which is a shame, because there's a boss fight toward the end of the game, which would have been a lot easier if you could control the AI a little bit better. And I know it's supposed to sort of replicate having a human player who will go off and do their own thing, but even in this boss fight, you'd find a way to... Because you won't be able to talk if you you know, pick them up online, but you'd come up with the same strategy. You wouldn't just be running around in circles and...
You'd have the same goal.
Yeah, and the AI doesn't really do that. But what is nice, though, is the AI will revive you if you die. So you don't... Dying isn't instantly, you know, reset back to the missile, which is the bonfire of this game. If the AI has enough magic points and the cooldown's worn off, so if you don't keep dying, then yeah, you can get revived, which gives you a fighting chance against some bosses. But that's what takes some of the difficulty away from it.
So you say that the AI running around in circles and being generally a bit unhelpful at times, would that be easier with the multiplayer, do you think, if you've got someone you know and you're not randomly paired with, you're more in tune with?
Absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to have to do some of this.
I would be well down for some multiplayer Code Vein with you.
You can have an actual Coleman in Code Vein talking about complete nonsense.
Well, the difference between that and the AI is that I can take my headset off when I'm playing with you.
That's a good point.
So it'll actually be lovely because it'll be like hanging out with a quiet Coleman.
Yeah.
It's just something I've not experienced yet.
That's not a real thing. That's impossible.
No, yeah.
No.
It's a little bit like the unicorn of people, isn't it?
All right.
Quiet
we're
Coleman.
We're getting a bit into this, I think. I like this. You got something to say?
Yeah, you know, I do it out of love.
Ah, fine. Right, so that's Code Vein. Pretty much a recommend, then.
Yeah, if you like, you have to really like the sort of Dark Souls-like games, or if you've always been tempted by a Souls-like but are afraid that they're a little bit, you know, the barrier of entry is a little too high, this is a really good one to sort of bring you into what the genre feels like. And it's a really good sort of gateway game into the Souls-like genre.
Gateway game into Souls.
All I had was drug references in my head. I'm like, yeah.
I started with Code Vein and now I'm on the Dark Souls trilogy.
Yeah. I mean, I did it backwards. I started with the Class A's and now I'm on the Code Vein. That actually does sound like a drug name, doesn't it?
It does a bit.
That's really weird.
If you want more information on Code Vein, there is a brilliant review written by Rick on BigRedBarrel.com. And as I mentioned earlier, I've been playing something that I've already spoken about on the show, but I lent this off to Tim, so it's been missing, and now it's back, and now I can play the extra stuff. Anyway, I'm talking about Mortal Kombat 11.
And
I finally got to play with the Terminator, which I got very...
How is he?
He is hard to pick up and very worth mastering, I have found. This is the T-800 model of the Terminator, specifically the... it looks like the Terminator... Is it Dark Fate, the new film?
Yeah.
Yeah, Terminator Dark Fate model. So he's old and grizzled. He's got the grey beard and the grey hair and stuff. It's that version of Arnie. You can unlock other costume elements in the game as well, so you can have him looking more younger. Beat for beat. So before I get into the actual character itself, like the scan of this character is very well done. And where you've got things in the game, like there's X-ray moves. So if you punch someone, you'll see bones break. Or if you rip, you know, if in a fatality where someone will rip a face off, you'll see a skull underneath. And they're all endoskeleton, you know, the metallic skeleton inside with the red eyes and all the bits. You know, if you, there's a move Liu Kang does that I like to use a lot, and he kind of does the 1-inch punch, but it explodes the body, and it's just bits of body and bits of robot just flying around everywhere. So that attention to detail is brilliant. And
how do the X-ray moves work? Do they still break bones and stuff? Because that kind of feels off to me, because it's a Terminator.
Well, it's more like crushing metal than breaking bones.
Okay, but they still twist and it looks horrible. And
yeah, it's
cool.
One thing I really like as well, again, before I get into how this character actually plays, you know that traditional thing, finish him, and the character is kind of staggering around before you do your fatality move or your brutality or whatever you're doing. he doesn't stagger. He just kind of malfunctions. So he just stays still in one position, which I really like.
Sort of freezes.
Yeah, because he's malfunctioned. He's a Terminator. Cool. It makes sense. The scan looks absolutely brilliant for Arnie. I do like that you can de-age him because I want more traditional, more Arnie-looking things. You can look at a trailer to see how the character plays, but there's like little reference. There's references to different things from the Terminator back catalog. So one of the kind of flurry moves you do, the Terminator will give a thumbs up and a smile before he shoots a shotgun.
Nice.
One of the intro animations, when you're coming through a time portal, it kind of blows rubbish around before he appears, not naked. But one of the bits of rubbish is the cup that the cup from Terminator 2 that the security guard is drinking out and playing the kind of coffee cup poker, whatever that game is he's playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Oh, nice.
It's that kind of stuff. It's real attention to detail in there.
I hate that I understood that reference as well.
Yeah, well, I rewatched Judgment Day pretty recently as well, so it's fresh in my memory. And I looked at it several times. I went, is that the coffee? And then you can look at your character's intro animations and stuff and just keep replaying them. And I did it a few times. I went, yeah, that is definitely the coffee cup. I'm happy I know this. Where it is a beautiful scan of Arnie, it is not a beautiful voice of Arnie. It is a Arnie sound-alike, and not in the way I like Arnie sound-alikes, which is kind of like the PPI advert, just over-the-top Arnie. Yeah. It is a very dead and solemn-sounding Terminator-y style Arnie that doesn't particularly sound like him. Yeah, that bit's a bit jarring. Phoned in isn't a word I'd use because he's a Terminator. He has no emotion. It makes sense for him to sound robotic. But at the same time, something is off about him. And it is the most jarring part about it. It's like, you look like Arnie, but you don't sound like Arnie. And I don't know why.
They just pulled a random Austrian off the street and was like, you do.
You'll do. You're out there, some bloke in Neverrealm. It's like, oi, Dave, you've got a pretty decent Arnie impression. Come here. No, don't do that. Come on, tone it down a bit. Tone it down. That's better. Yeah. The character himself, he is a powerhouse. He does a lot of close quarter combat.
Is he one of the slow characters?
Yeah, he is a slow character, yeah. But he is worth using. And he has some grenade kind of power-ups he can use as well, and he has some juggling moves where, you know, you can knock someone into the sky and then you can punch them when they're in the sky, but you can also grab them by the ankle and slam them down. And if you get the right kind of combination, you can take like 45% off someone's health in one go. Yeah, so he is worth using. Best, not one to use against the likes of Liu Kang or Cabal, anyone fast, well, super fast anyway, but he is a well worth addition to Mortal Kombat. And I've always kind of felt, especially with X and the guest characters that they've thrown in, like the Predator and the Alien and that stuff, they didn't feel right in the Mortal Kombat universe. Yeah. Arnie with this new version of Mortal Kombat really, really works. And yeah, I'm very happy with the character. And all the kind of Easter egg stuff they do, like when they do the little conversations before they fight, there is a moment where there's loads of subtle nods to previous Arnie films in the game that aren't specifically Terminator. For instance, the one that's getting floated around at the moment, one of the characters will ask if he fought Sub-Zero, and he's like, yes, he's been terminated. And they go, damn, now he's just regular Zero, which is a line from Running Man. You know, stuff like that is really nerdy, and I like it.
Nice.
I do like a lot of stuff. There's like Get to the Chopper references and things like that. One of the best things about the character as well, where you have your different loadouts and different abilities you can use, one of the ones you can stick on the Terminator is if you get down to your last 10% of health, he will either through an attack or through a malfunction, the skin, the flesh will melt away and you will just be the skeleton. And
nice.
It looks cool, and it also makes you semi-impervious to certain attacks. So again, shown off in the trailer, if Scorpion uses the lancer, the get over here type move, it will then ting straight off the metal. It won't work. If anyone shoots a gun, it won't work.
That's really cool. So it's like a little, like, last resort shield kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's nothing that's I've actually found particularly useful. It just looks really cool. Because you are down to your last 10%, so someone can dispatch you quite easily without using projectiles at that point. But it's a nice little nod, and I really, really like it. Not sure which is the next character we're getting, but there's we've got Joker coming up, Sindel's coming up, Spawn, and I think that's the last of season one, actually. But I'm looking forward.
Candyman.
Candyman could work.
I think Candyman would be so good in Mortal Kombat.
Wow, who's got that license?
Jordan Peele's got that license.
What, Candyman?
Yeah, he's producing the reboot.
Oh, okay. So he's not specific. It'd be down to a studio that's using him. Okay.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to think who that's.
I could see that as a promotional type thing, and I didn't know there was a reboot, so that's good to know. It's a childhood nightmare there.
I really want Tony Todd Candyman in a Mortal Kombat game. He'd be so good.
Anyway, Terminator, he is worth adding to your lineup in Mortal Kombat. If you, if you're looking to pick up Mortal Kombat, I'd still say hold off, because they do tend to do like a large edition of these games where they throw in it. Well, either they'll do the like XL type where they throw in all the DLC available with the game at a reduced price, or as I found with Infamous 2, they reduced the season pass down to something stupid like £5. So it's worth holding out for these kind of discounts on because the DLC is very expensive for these games. And Mortal Kombat 11's not gone down in price too much since it's been out as well.
Well, it's not been out too long though, has it?
Yeah, a couple of months. A handful of months, we'll say that. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. And it's getting me back into it. So now I'm playing more towers and stuff as well. I might redo the story again as well. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. You very briefly mentioned that you're playing Dragon Quest, because
yes,
last week I spoke that I started playing Dragon Quest, and I'm not too far into it. I'm playing the original the re-release on the Switch, which is the mobile ported to the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, it's essentially the SNES remake ported to a phone ported to the Switch.
Okay, so that's what I'm still playing. You've gone a bit further with this, though. You're on like 3 now or 4?
Yeah, I've just finished 2.
Okay, so you're on 3.
Yeah, well, after Link's Awakening, which I'm playing at the moment, I'll be jumping on 3. I needed a break.
Oh, Link's Awakening's so good.
It's how are you, so good.
How are you finding this foray into the whole Dragon Quest universe?
Oh, this is really the first time I've ever played Dragon Quest. I started 9 about 7 years ago for 2 hours.
Right.
And then didn't go back, not because the game is bad, I got distracted. And yeah, so this is my first like real go at Dragon Quest, so I thought I'd go back to the beginning. The first one is really interesting. Like, it's incredibly bare bones and archaic, but Dragon Quest was the first JRPG, so it's going to be bare bones and archaic, because they hadn't quite figured out the formula yet.
But taking that kind of outdated formula, it translates really well to a mobile platform.
Yeah, I think RPGs on Switch is the best platform for me anyway, because Switch, Vita, or 3DS, because I just love being able to put the system to sleep for a minute.
Yes.
And it just makes playing RPGs a lot better. But I really enjoyed the first Dragon Quest, but I do have problems with it. Like, I think the performance is shocking. The frame rate's really bad, and considering that it's such
a frame rate?
Yeah, it stutters really badly when you move around.
Do you know what? I didn't notice that.
Well, now I've told you, you'll notice, so apologies. But yeah, so it doesn't perform too well, which is weird, because it's such a basic game on a system that is way too powerful for it.
Right.
And I don't really like the graphics. I don't like the character models at all. There's just something that feels or looks off to me.
Well, they're better than the first one, as I described last week.
But it's an interesting little time capsule to go back and see how, you know, the JRPG, which is my favourite genre, so to go back and see how it all began is really good. I think, like, I can see why it's so iconic. The first villain, well, the first monster that you fight is the slime, which is bigger than Pikachu in Japan.
Yeah, and now I understand the reference about slime. What is a slime?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was good. It was really good. Number two, though, is far better. Still very bare bones and trying to find its feet, but that introduces a party, so you've got two characters with you.
Ah.
It continues the story like 100 years later from the first game. It's steering more towards a traditional JRPG, so I think the first one's feels more like an adventure game. The second one feels like close to a standard JRPG, so I'm really excited to get into the third one. I just didn't want to sort of do the trilogy back to back. I'm like, I need a palate cleanser, so I jumped on Link's Awakening. But yeah, they're very interesting. Like, if you've never played Dragon Quest before, it's definitely worth picking up because it's so cheap. It's $3.99 for the first one, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's... I thought that was the same price for all of them.
No. No.
Ooh, okay.
It's $3.99 for the first one.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think it's $6 or $7.99 for the second, and then it's $9.99 for the third.
Okay, all right.
So they incrementally go up in price. But you get like two or three times more game in the second one than you do the first one, and then the third one's considerably bigger than the second one, so it makes sense. But the prices, for the most part, are either the same or just a little bit more expensive than they are on mobile.
Mm.
So the first one on mobile is $2.99.
Yeah.
But it's $3.99 on the Switch. So
that's the Switch tax. That's the Switch tax. Ni no Kuni on the PlayStation 4, that's, and then on the Switch, that's £10 difference.
Yeah, Switch tax. Switch tax. Needs to get out. But 3 is the same price on mobile as it is on Switch. So I think they're just getting all their Switch tax from the first one.
Maybe.
But yeah, I'll be picking the third one up as soon as I'm done with Link's Awakening.
Okay. I mean, I'm liking the ride if I do finish the first one, which is incredibly short compared to most RPGs in general, I believe. But
how far through it are you?
Not far, because it's my tube game, isn't it? Yeah, if I finish off the first one, then I will be jumping to the second one. Probably join you in that camp. And then by that point, you'll be talking to me about 3, and I'll be talking to you about 2. So there we go.
Yeah. And I've just managed to get hold of 5 and 7 for the
You're
DS
planning
and
way
3DS.
Ahead. You're planning way ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to spend the next 12 months going through all of them, to be honest.
Hmm. Okay.
That's my plan.
That sounds like a fun old time. It's kind of like a book club, but a Dragon Quest club.
Dragon Quest club.
Dragon club. Ah, we should start that one.
We should.
That's coming to the Discord channel soon. We are running low on time because you've got to go to work and I've got to go prep for EGX, which will be happening right now as you're hearing this podcast. If you're hearing on either Thursday, Friday, Saturday or Sunday, if you're hearing past that, it's not. It's finished. It's ended. But if you are heading to EGX at the Excel in London, then please do say hi. I'll be there. Tim will be there. You can get any of, there'll be a bunch of people from Big Red Barrel over there. Best thing to do is go tweet Big Red Barrel at Big Red Barrel, and we can forward on any messages and stuff. We can do some little meets or what have you if you're feeling such that way inclined. But something we got to do, a couple of bits of housekeeping before we go and get out of here. The first of which is Rockstar have been nice enough to send us, and by us I mean mostly Tim, a ridiculous amount of Rockstar energy because they thought, hey, you know what Tim needs in his life? Unlimited amounts of energy. which is good because I don't live with Tim anymore, so that's fine for me. Tim sent me some as well, and I've got a couple of codes to give away. Now, these codes can be redeemed for Gears 5 on their website, which I believe you just Google Gears 5 Rockstar Energy. That will take you to the right place, and this will give you different perks unlockable in the multiplayer version of the game. So I'm going to read these off quickly. The first code is V49KVV. TTNN7L, and then the second code is NC27J9HN92KF. So please redeem those and get your perks, and let us know if you've got some perks either on Twitter, Facebook, or on Discord. Okay. Speaking of which, make sure to head over to our Facebook, facebook.com/BigRedBarrel, our Twitter at BigRedBarrel, and our Discord, which you can find on BigRedBarrel.com. Also, if you're just going to BigRedBarrel.com for the Discord link, maybe actually have a look at some of the articles and stuff that are on there, because there's some hard work that has been put into those, like the Code Vein review from Rick here. I don't know why I'm staggering all my words today. I think I'm slightly out of breath, but I won't stop to breathe into the mic. That's why I'm staggering all my words today. Also, Tabletop Tuesday. Tim's not here to talk about it, but it will be happening on the 22nd of October at the Loading Bar Scenario in Dalston, London. I don't have the featured game because, as we're recording, only yesterday was the last event. Tim doesn't usually plan these things as far in his event in advance, but if you go check out BigRedBarrel.com, I'm sure the new game will be up there. If you
Mousetrap.
It will be Mousetrap. Officially heard it here. Not officially heard it here. That will be on a different day. That will be Tabletop Mousetrap. Thursday. But if you go to Tabletop Tuesday at the Loading Bar in Dalston in London, you can play the featured game that they have available there. You'll be entered into a prize draw, and you could end up taking that said game home with you at the end of the night. I've seen it. It happens. People take home games. Really, really nice games. New games. Expensive games. Games that look really nice if you wanted to re-gift them. But please don't. Please keep them. And also, if you play that game and you go, I really like this game, I can't quite afford it, and I didn't win a game, go back to the Loading Bar. They keep them in stock. We usually get two. We get one to give away. We get one for the bar. That's how it works. And it's a super fun night. It's board games and beer and other drinks if you don't drink beer. Well, what can you say no about?
Water.
What?
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 Shh.
Okay. We did get a bit of feedback this week, mostly about the Hong Kong thing. We also, Gabriel asked if he wanted to know what Tim thought of my comment about sucking paint out of a hose blindfolded, which Tim and Dan aren't here, so I can't ask them. But we'll check back with that question a little bit later. And I will say, if you can leave us a podcast review like this fine chap has, that would be really appreciated as well. So in the Apple Podcast sections, or iTunes, if you will, if you're a purist, we got a 5-star from Jack's Champion. I know that guy. Who said that we are a must-listen if you're a fan of video games, bells, VR, Destiny, board games, and comedy gold. That is generous.
I think he's after something.
I think he's after some of these cans of Rockstar Energy, to be fair.
He wants a can or two of Rockstar Energy.
Yes. Anyway, we've got to get out of here because I've got to go to EGX and go and play games and stuff, which I'm sure we'll be talking about in a lot more depth in the coming episodes. So, Rick, thank you for jumping on.
Thank you for having me.
That's all right, buddy. Any excuse to talk to my good friend here. And also, Rick does a podcast on Big Red Barrel called Comics Inc. You know, INC. Not, it sounds like ink you would use to do a comic book, but ink as in incorporate it. It's a very clever pun.
It's very clever. It's a very clever pun.
It's a very clever pun. Anyway, Comics Inc. is a worthwhile listen. I'm sure there's a new episode coming soon.
Very soon. I'm just finishing editing it.
Mercy.
And I've been talking to Ruben, and we have a special Halloween episode coming as well.
Ooh, I love me a Halloween episode, and it's very close. Anyway, so for this episode 364 of the Big Red Barrel UK podcast, I have been Coleman.
I have been tired.
And until next time, dear listeners, goodbye.
and your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.